Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them.
I'm sorry. I think that man said, I think he said fuck them. Now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, let's start off with a big hello, hello, hello from the Phil and Bill Show. Special hello to you, Miguel.
Hello. Hello, Bill. How was your day?
We're doing fine. I want to talk about last weekend for a second,
sure,
if you don't mind. Philip and I had a rare occasion. We were together at an event. It's not that we don't like each other, just that in California there's so much events, we are scattered. But we were at the Easy Rider Bike Show in Anaheim, California, and that was quite a good show. I wasn't thrilled last year, but I really was impressed this year. And the reason why, I look at the spacers, the vendor spacers. If the show is light, I notice they take the vendors and they spread them out for two spaces. This show last weekend, everybody had one spot only. That tells me that thing was booked. And that's good. It may be a sign of a healthy economy. You and I got to see a lot of good friends.
Mm-hmm.
You were in the booth hanging out with some of your good friends from the leather company?
Oh, Espinosa.
Espinosa. So that was always nice to see some of them there. There's a friend of mine named Sugar Bear, Sugar Bear Choppers, and I want to point out, I'm going to say something right now. Sugar Bear, if you're listening, there were so many people, I don't know, 1,000? I couldn't judge.
A lot of people.
There were so many people, Sugar Bear and I couldn't find each other. Excuse me. So Bear and all that, if you're listening, maybe another time and all that. But we're going to meet a lot of our old friends there. The show was good. The new trend now, these big, giant front wheels.
You know, Bill, those are going to be a thing of pasture.
Man, I'm getting a little, I don't know how they're going to handle.
Handle like shit, I heard.
Well, I've never ridden one, but I'm getting the feeling that a lot, Kennedy's Custom Cycles, myself, my brother Mike Kennedy. I'm around motorcycles all the time. I'm just not sure these big wheels, if there's going to be a little bit of a flop in the front end. So anybody that rides the big wheels, I hope you enjoy it. Maybe contact us sometime and let you know what you think. I'm just thinking they don't. Well, it's got a good look to it, crazy look. But I just don't know if it's going to work out that well.
Well, Bill, you know, it's just like I told you that one about flipping bikes. It's going to be the new trend this year. Everybody start flipping bikes. Buying and flipping bikes.
Now, you and I cannot drive motorcycles like that because if we're down deep in Mexico and we blow a tire,
we can't drive down deep here.
That's
just, to me, that's just for right around town. That's it.
But again, for everybody that wants a big wheel right now, that's up to you. Don't change because Phil and Bill say so. The rest of the stuff up there, did you see anything really radical that was caught your attention?
Not really.
We're going to give kudos out to our good friend T-Rod.
Right.
He brought his
sidecar. He won first place.
He did? Oh, my God.
He got first place, and I think first and second place.
T-Rod's new shop is now called T-Rod Speed Shop up in Anaheim area. I can't say. L.A.?
L.A.
Somewhere up there. You know that. T-Rod Speed Shop.
Orange County.
But Orange County, that's even better. Yeah, thank you. Orange County is where it's at now. He came with the sidecar Speedway racer in, what was the other one, just Speedway?
Yeah, it's Speedway bike.
Speedway.
The one cylinder Speedway bike.
Yeah. Did he talk to you about being the monkey?
No.
Okay, he asked me if I'd be the monkey. If you don't know what a monkey is, on the sidecar races, the guy hangs off the side. He keeps the balance. Usually that's a short, compact person. Boys and girls, I'm just over 6 foot. I don't think they have monkeys my size on those sidecars. But I want to thank T-Rod for the offer. I think you're out of your mind, but thank you for the offer, though.
Hello, Art. Art says hello, Bill. It's cold out tonight.
Oh, it is. You know what? Phil and I are just minutes away from rain coming down. Hard. You pick rain coming in this morning?
Yeah.
I want you to know, Bill Kennedy took his truck in. Yeah. And the truck's outside right now because they're afraid that by the time I get home tonight, it's going to be seriously wet. So, yeah. No more hardcore Bill Kennedy. I got the truck.
Well, after all the shit you've been through, you should be in the fucking truck.
Oh, my God.
But, no, Bill, I got a couple of news flashes. One is...
you're going to tell me about something new? Somebody made you an offer or something?
No. Warnings not to...
Anything new in your life you want to talk about? No?
Warnings not to use E15 gas in your car, Bill. It's a short video.
I don't even know what E15 gas is.
That's that blend. That's that blend of gas.
I hope somebody knows. Is that in California?
Yeah.
I don't know. I miss all these things here. I was in a coma for 3 weeks.
A car that's older than 2012. That's a whole lot of people. E15 is a higher blend of ethanol and gasoline, and it is EPA approved. It is now sold in a handful of states. But today, AAA is saying don't use it because it's going to damage your car engine. That's AAA saying that. And here's the kicker. At least 10 car companies are now saying they will not cover any claims of damage due to this fuel, due to E15, and it's going to void your warranty if you use it. Here to explain exactly what you need to know is Lauren Fix of the Car Coach. You know, I read this story this morning, and I couldn't believe it. I mean, this gasoline is out there being sold. It's approved by the EPA. Yet you have car company after car company saying that they will not cover fuel-related claims. This is BMW, Chrysler, Nissan, Toyota, VW. Other car companies have said if you use this fuel that's approved and pushed by our government, it's going to void your warranty. Ford, Honda, Kia, Mercedes-Benz, it'll void. How is this happening?
Well, the problem is there wasn't a lot of testing done, and us in the automotive aftermarket, and, you know, I've been testing this stuff for a long time. There's something called phase separation, and there's all kinds of damage to emission systems, fuel systems, and engines. The first thing, you do not want to pump E15 into your car. And it's happening because our current government is pushing this because there's also corn subsidies going on. There's a lot of money changing hands. But the bottom line is consumers are going to be hurt badly if you use this stuff. I actually have proof that it damages fuel lines, emission systems, and engines.
Why? What's in it that makes it so bad for your car? Because, I mean, you know, it's great for the environment, I would assume.
Well, it's made from corn. So what's happening is a lot of farmers are saying, you know what, we're going to start producing corn rather than producing other products. So that's why your groceries have gotten so expensive. But on the other hand, what this is very highly corrosive, so corrosive that it has to be distributed to the gas stations in stainless steel containers and stainless steel tanks, which are hauled by diesel vehicles, of all things. But when it's merged with the gasoline in your gas pump, wherever you pump your gas into your vehicle, that's when they merge the two together. And what happens is so bad is it's something called phase separation, where the ethanol is actually heavier and goes to the bottom of the tank. So now your vehicle, whether it's running on E10, which is at every gas station now, which is mandatory, or E15, which they'd love to shove down our throats, and I'll tell you what happens is it starts off with the separation. Your gas tank is now drawing just the ethanol, so it destroys fuel systems. And I have proof because I've talked to companies that manufacture fuel lines. They've got brand-new vehicles with rotted-out fuel systems,
wow,
and they have to produce product that they shouldn't be. Emission system, and then when the ethanol's gone, the gasoline is being drawn. Here's the interesting part. It's made 3 octane levels lower, and what that means is 87 octane is really 84 octane, and that damages your engine because it detonates. These are really serious factors,
and I really wish that
before they think so short-sightedly, they look at what the big picture is.
This is very confusing. I mean, I've covered this industry for a long time, and I still, when we were looking at this story in the meeting, was like, what is the difference between E85 and E15? I don't understand these different fuels that are out there. And I'm somebody who follows this, so I can't imagine for the average person that's pulling into their gas station and they see these things. So tell me, E85 is a blend that is only used in flex fuel vehicles, right?
Exactly. So if you have a flex fuel vehicle, no matter what manufacturer you purchased it from, E85 is totally fine.
What about E15?
You can. Right. You can run E15, which is 15% ethanol, or E85, which is 85% ethanol with only 15% gasoline. But that's fine for the few flex fuel cars that are out there. For everything else, including these manufacturers that say, you know what, you use it, you void our warranty, it's really important to know that it actually will damage your vehicle, and they know it. It actually destroys gaskets, too, because of the corrosiveness of ethanol on its own. So when you're looking at gas, you think, well, I'll save a few pennies, I'll buy the E15. In reality, it's going to cost you hundreds, possibly thousands of dollars down the road because you're going to have to pay for those repairs. No one's going to cover that.
And you can't blame this on evil people who hate the environment. I mean, this is AAA out there issuing this warning. I mean, you can't say that this is a conspiracy of some type against farmers, against the fuel industry, whatever it is. It's AAA has come out. Now, what is the EPA's response to all this at this time?
Well, the EPA claims that they've done all this testing and that it's impossible to do years of testing in months. They said they've done all this testing and they claim there's no difference. Well, here's the other difference that's going to affect your pocketbook, because the truth is AAA is trying to help people. And I don't work for AAA. Actually, I work for AOL Autos, so, I mean, we're totally opposing to each other. But the fact is that when you're looking at the cost of what it costs you, there's less than one-third energy per gallon of gasoline that has ethanol in it than regular gasoline that didn't have ethanol in it. So what does that mean to you? You're filling up at the pump more often. It's costing you the same amount of money, and you get to pay the damages that happen to your engine.
No, it's really true. And if you look at AAA's website, they do normalize for how many miles you're actually going to get out of the gas. So you can see what it really costs, because it's deceptive when you see it up there. When you're pulling into the gas station, the price per gallon, it doesn't get you the same distance, so that's not a fair comparison. They try and say it's cheaper. Thank you so much for coming on and debunking a lot of these myths. Really important information for people who might accidentally void their warranty and wreck their car. It's crazy. Thank you.
Holy shit.
You didn't know that, Bill?
No, I didn't know nothing about this at all.
Yep.
I haven't got to see this in a local area. Oh, my God. Well, and you know what? This is a good example of why our government is not responsible. How long do we have leaded fuel in America? Leaded fuels cause more damage, more death, more everything, and they kept wanting to bring unleaded fuel in, and they wouldn't do it. Leaded fuel in America has caused so much damage, and all our government did was ignore it. Now, here, we're talking about ruining your car.
Harley-Davidson, Kawasaki, Suzuki, and Honda said the same thing.
Boys and girls, does anybody... Go ahead.
It makes your bike run hotter, Bill. Remember we had that discussion?
We did. I wonder if anybody out there has that E15 in their neighborhood or something like that. Give us a call in there. By the way, Philly, we got 508 on the air. 508-496. Come in, talk to us tonight, please.
Well. I only caught half of that, and... very interesting. When I was living in Niles, Michigan, there was a big ethanol plant on the outskirts of South Bend, Indiana. And it smelled like burnt toast. As soon as you got down within a couple of miles of where the plant was, that's what it did. It smelled like burnt toast for quite a little distance. The only thing I'm a bit confused with, because like I said, I only got to hear the tail end of that. Like, the little car that I have, it says to put, like, the lowest percentage of gas, what is that, 87, whatever, for it to run right, because the engine was built to run on that type of fuel versus a higher octane in fuel. So, I don't know. I would like to hear that whole little segment all over again, or at least get a rundown on what they said at the beginning versus what I just heard at the tail end, because I was under the impression that ethanol was safe to use, you know? So now I'm a bit confused.
Well, ethanol is safe to use in flex fuel vehicles. She said the stuff that they want to sell, the farmers, everybody's gotten together. There's a lot of money changing hands behind the scenes. And they're all going to start growing the corn.
Exactly. And not be growing the other crops. And the prices may be going sky high.
And that's why the prices are high and all the other...
I don't know about that neither, because the weather conditions and stuff have been brutal to grow corn. You know, I know grocery prices and stuff have gone up because there wasn't enough, quote-unquote, the growing factor to grow other greens, et cetera, to feed the livestock that existed on some farms already for, like, dairy and different things like that. And I know that had a partial play in stuff. So I don't know. I'm really, really just kind of floored at what I partially heard. So I don't know.
Well, it's just like she also said, because if you use that, when they put the gas in, it's heavier than regular gas.
Yeah.
So it sinks.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mix the way it's supposed to. So it corrodes your fuel system and everything. So all the major car companies and the four motorcycle companies, if you use this stuff in your car, it'll void your warranty and they won't fix it.
And that's even gas. And make it dangerous to fuel lines. I was totally unaware of that stuff there. We have an extremely irresponsible government that should be stepping in and telling these people, take it off the market.
Right.
We can send warriors to overseas to fight the ragheads. We can fight all this stuff over here. We can't make America safe. America, government, get off your ass. Tell these people, take it off the market. Make my life safe. What's wrong with that idea?
Well, you know, Bill, it's like our friend here says, because we're the pussification of America.
Oh, man, you're talking about the monk man.
Yeah.
Felonious. Now, that boy has got, he beats to a beat of a different drum.
Right. So, this is all tying into the pussification of America. So, listen to this, Stacey, and everybody else that's out there.
Can I tell you what's happening in America?
The pussification of America. Comedians have always, historically, been the ones to push the envelope. We say a little extra shit. We say the shit that America won't say, because in pleasant company, you can't say that. So when you pay your money to go to a fucking comedy show, the expectation is he may say some rancid shit. In 1971, Richard Pryor goes on stage and says, don't get caught sucking a dick. If you're a straight man, don't suck a dick. You'll get addicted. First of all, how do you be a straight man and suck a dick? He wasn't saying, hey, if you're a straight man, I know you might suck a dick. It was comedy. Who gives a fuck? Maybe he did suck a dick. Maybe he didn't. Either way, it's just fucking jokes. Stop being sensitive, motherfuckers. There's a guy out named Carlos Mencia. Says some of the most racially offensive shit you could ever say. But the shit is funny. And that's what's comedy. Comedians are able to take the shit that you don't say in normal, what they call mixed company, and say that shit. But you can't do that anymore. Because Tracy Morgan comes on stage and tells a joke. Unfortunately, in the joke, he says something referencing gay people and then somebody getting their ass whipped or stabbed or something to that effect. Now, was it funny? To some it was. To some it wasn't. Here's how you work a joke, though. If you don't find a fucking joke funny, don't laugh. But there's a public outcry. Oh, my God, I can't believe you said something about gay people. Look at how the climate has changed. In the 80s, Eddie Murphy came on stage in a flaming red leather suit, turned around and said, and I hope you faggots ain't looking at my ass, because I can tell if you faggots looking at my ass, because my ass gonna get warm. And everybody laughed at it. It was funny. Well, what the fuck has changed? You can't laugh at motherfuckers no more? Black people get on stage and tell black people jokes. That's fine. But white person gets on stage and tells jokes about black people, he's racist. I'm not talking about them Kramer-type jokes. That wasn't a joke. Kramer spazzed the fuck out. I don't condone that bullshit. Allegedly, he's not racist. Sounded racist, a motherfucker to me. My bad. But it wasn't done as humor. He spazzed. Stop it, B. Stop being sensitive over everything. The whole fucking country is a bunch of pussies. And it starts out from being little kids. You never get tough. You never learn how to fight. Nothing you had to fight. You got Purell as a baby. You put in Purell. Poor little infant, they can't get germs in their system. Well, how the fuck is their system going to learn how to fight germs? Because you talk to their system about it? Lungs, don't worry about dust. It'll harm you. Don't let it get inside you. How the fuck is that going to happen? You can't keep your fucking baby in an incubator, you Michael Jackson mom-having-ass motherfuckers. You'll keep your baby in a fucking insulin. You can't do that. In the real world, there's germs. Germs! Purell and everything, you Lysoling down the fucking front door. You can't even grab the door. I seen a motherfucker the other day. He had on a fucking glove to put gas in his car. Fucking pussy ass motherfucker. Go wash your hands. You're a fucking man. Occasionally gonna smell like man shit. You'll smell like outdoors every now and then. It's a musky smell. It's what fuck men smell like. Men running around smelling like women now. Don't let that Sean John shit get you fooled. You take a shower, you put that on when you're going to have a fucking date. You don't wear that shit to just be walking around in all the time, motherfucker. Smell like a man. You in a basketball court, motherfucker, and you run by me and you smell like floral scents and Bath and Body Works, you bitch-built motherfucker. Stop being a pussy, man. Man the fuck up. Sweat every now and then. 8 years old. They can dissect the New York Giants defense because they play Madden all day. But you put one of these pussy motherfuckers in the fucking sun for more than 10 minutes, they're going to have heat stroke. You know why? Because little kids don't fucking go out and play no more. They sit in their air-conditioned little incubators, and they play video games all day. Thumbs strong than a motherfucker. Legs weak as a mother, you pussy-built motherfucker. How the fuck you going to be a sedentary 8-year-old? You fat fucking eating at Subway ass fucking 9. How the fuck you 9 and you on a diet? Put your 9-year-old on a diet. Put your 9-year-old out front at the beginning of the summer and lock the fucking door and make that little bitch ass motherfucker play some goddamn one way. That's what the fucking problem is. You starting them out as pussies. Then they get a little older. You start teaching about relationships. Here's where the single parent problem comes in, where women are talking about I'm the mother and the father. Bullshit, you're the mother and you're taking on the role as disciplinarian because the father isn't there. But here's what happens. You're teaching him from a woman's perspective how to be a man, so you've taught him sensitivity. Let me help you out, ladies. All of this, get in touch with your feminine side. You should get in touch with your feminine side. We have no feminine side. You are our feminine side. Fellas, if you have a feminine side, it's called a vagina. And if you're a man with a vagina, you're a woman. Ta-da! That's easy, motherfucker. You don't have no fucking feminine side. Only emotion you can have is fucking anger for somebody saying you have a fucking feminine side. Fuck out of here with that pussy-ass shit. It's no the pussification of America. Stop it, B. Cut that shit all the way the fuck out. Everybody's sensitive over everything. Oh, did you hear him? He said that they were gay. Oh, he's an anti-Semitic motherfucker. Oh, they said blacks. He said the blacks, those people. Fuck you. Pull yourself up by your fucking bootstraps and get your fucking life together. Fuck out of here. You know every motherfucker who's ever slighted black people, but you don't know why gas prices just went down. You know every motherfucker who's told a Jewish joke in poor taste, but you have no idea why we're still in Afghanistan. Who gives a fuck, you selfish fuckers? You pussy nobody can say anything. Women don't have equal rights. Yes, the fuck you do. You have equal rights. You can do every fucking thing I do. Women don't get paid the same as men. Oh, I'm sorry. That is fucked up. That right there is fucked up. If you do the same job a man does, you should get paid the same money. That's fucked up. However, crying like a little pussy ain't gonna change that. And fellas, acting like a little pussy ain't gonna get you no pussy. So man up, tap yourself on the chest and grow a pair of balls, you pussy motherfuckers. The whole fucking country is pussified. Let me tell you how pussy it is. It's real pussy when it's now accepted for you to be a baby daddy that don't take care of his fucking kids. Because that's what the fuck is going on out here. That's some pussy-ass shit. Woman tell you you pregnant, you haul ass, you pussy motherfucker. That's some pussy-ass shit. But it's accepted, apparently, because 73% of African-Americans are born into single-parent homes. So apparently 73%, which is the majority, of motherfuckers don't stay where the fuck they're supposed to stay when the baby is conceived. You pussy motherfucker. That's some pussy shit. So now we have a cycle of more pussification. Pussification. I'm going to make that a real fucking word, you pussified-ass bastards. Stop it, B. Man, the fuck up. Stop being sensitive about dumb shit and go out there and fight for some shit that means something. I don't give a fuck if you call me a nigga. It didn't change what the fuck happened to me today. That's not a sign of a lack of respect. A sign of a lack of respect is not paying me the same fucking money for the motherfucking work that I'm doing, that you pay another motherfucker for the work that I'm doing. That's no respect. Calling me a nigga? That's your fucking opinion. Not paying me? That's lack of respect. Not paying me to get your ass whipped. Stop whipping motherfuckers' asses for calling you a nigga and start whipping motherfuckers' asses for paying you $10 an hour for a job that they're paying a white guy $15 an hour for. That's disrespect. Blatant and a motherfucker. Here's the problem. If you disrespect it yourself, you allow the rest of the world to disrespect you. So, women, you call yourself a bitch, then I call you a bitch. Then you say I disrespected you. You're a pussy. You called yourself a bitch. Man the fuck up. You want to be a man because you're talking like a man. Fuck that. I'm a bad bitch. Okay, bad bitch. Fuck you, bitch. Can't take that, though. Now you all in your feelings.
You didn't call me a bitch. Any man that can't respect a woman doesn't respect himself.
Fuck you, you pussy-ass bitch. Now, if you want me to treat you with the respect afforded to most women, then conduct yourself as a fucking woman. If you're going to conduct yourself like a bitch, I'm going to treat you like a bitch. Can't be a pussy and be a bad bitch. One or the other has to go. Fucking pussy-ass motherfuckers. The whole country is pussies. Starts when you're a kid. Get your kids off these fucking video games before we grow up with a whole bunch of pansy-ass motherfuckers. And I ain't even talking about gay. I'm talking about straight pussy-ass men. Tight jean-wearing-ass, sensitive-ass motherfuckers with your nipples chafed and shit. How the fuck you wearing these tight-ass fucking shirts and your nipples don't bleed? That shit makes my nipples bleed looking at you motherfuckers, you puss. I don't even like talking to you, motherfuckers. Fuck out of here.
for those people that don't know who this guy is, I'll wait. Where it is right here.
I think he likes that kitty word, no?
Wow.
Yeah. For anybody that doesn't know who this guy is, here's how we got turned on to him.
This is our first time we ran
into
this.
No, we should have had this month. Man, I ain't been here in a while, man, but it's too hot for me to get into it. I'm not going to do a lot of explanations today. It's going to be a straight stop at B. This is to the government, the United States government. Yo, $14.6 trillion, B. All my credit cards would have been cut off a long time before that. All I'm asking y'all to do is balance the budget, B. That's all y'all got to do. Son, we voted for y'all because we were worried about gay rights, marijuana getting legalized, all of these other things that we were concerned about. How can we get roads, more money for schools? Your bastards can't even balance a checkbook. A checkbook, B? This is something every American has to go through every week. We got to figure out what we're going to pay, what we got to put off a little bit. You bastards got the $14.6 trillion before you realize, oh, shit, we've reached the debt ceiling. How do you even approach the ceiling without knowing you're close to the ceiling? Listen, you're the best and the brightest. Harvard, Yale, Brown, Cornell, this is what we put out. Should have went to Norfolk State. Bastards, you would have got the same education. You would have spent a whole lot less money. So all I'm saying to you is, and this isn't personal. This isn't Democratic or Republican. This is everybody. Stop being a dickhead and balance the fucking budget. My second question, though, my second issue is, how the fuck do you owe China, B? How do you owe China? How can I tell my daughter with a straight face that capitalism is a better system than communism if we're borrowing all of our fucking money from the biggest communist country on the planet? You ass, get your... Don't even stop it, B. Stop your life, B. Get your whole shit together. Get all of your shit together. Don't do another press conference. Fuck CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Don't do any more television appearances until you got my budget balance. And I'm going to tell you this. Everybody who has a loan to the federal government, paying it. Don't pay your budget. Don't pay your bills because they ain't paying theirs. The fuck I got to pay my bills for if you don't pay your bills? I'm not doing what you don't do. You're the leader. I'm following. You don't pay, I don't pay. How about that, simple motherfuckers? What is your credit score? What's the government's credit score right now? It's got to be a 350. But you motherfuckers going to tell me I can't buy a car if my credit score is at a certain number? Your whole life is a 350, B. Your FICO score, your Experian, getting TransUnion, all your shit's low, B. Get your shit together. President Obama, personal to you, all the black people was proud. We got a black president. You acting like one right now, B. Pay your fucking bills on time. Stop. I ain't even got, it's too fucking hot for me to talk. I'm sweating and shit. Shit got me sweating. You know why? Because y'all ain't paid a light bill on earth. That's why it's 37 states right now going through a heat wave. Because not only did y'all not pay the fucking Chinese, y'all didn't pay the fucking light bill. You see how fucking hot it is? I'm pissed off. I can't.
And that was how Phil and I first met or heard about Thelonious Monk. The man has got a lot to say. I hope you tune in on him. I want to point out why I was so excited was what he said about China. I'm asking every American out there, don't do business with communist China. I'm asking every American corporation, take your money out of China. For Christ's sakes, it's going to affect our grandchildren. It's not going to affect me. It's not going to affect my children. My grandchildren are going to wake up in a country, and America's not going to be the great country. We're going to owe communist China. I'm talking about communist North Korea. I'm talking about Cuba. Any goddamn communist country, stop buying for them. And I heard that Harley Davidson's in China.
Yep.
Get the hell out, Harley Davidson. Every American corporation doing business in a communist country, get out. The basic tenets of communism is the control or abolish of all religion. Now, Philip and I, at best, we're works in progress among our Christian friends, so I'm not saying I'm the best Christian. I don't want to support any country, any government that says we want to take over democracy, and that's all they want to do. Why the hell can't our government? Now, I understand why we're doing business with China. We need more money.
Well, you know, Bill,
it's got to stop.
Wait, Bill, I
don't give a shit. It's got to stop. Go ahead. Go ahead, man. I ain't changing my mind.
The money system we have, do you know what it really is? I pay you the fucking $100 bill that I give you.
Yeah.
Then I owe you notes.
Right.
We don't have any money to back up the fucking.
No, and who holds the notes?
The government.
Yeah. And who holds the government notes? China. And a piece in Japan, too. They own all of Hawaii, for Christ's sakes, but that's another story. So we have this. We have America's in the, what is it? How many trillions of dollars we're in debt for? America, Who do you we're in debt to who? I'm going to tell you right now. Pay attention. China. America's in debt. You hear that all the time. Does anybody pay attention who? China is holding our debts. What the hell is wrong with this country? What happened? If my grandparents were alive or they woke up from their deathbed, they would look around. They wouldn't know what country they're living in today. They wouldn't have an idea because the freedoms that they fought for, World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, where the hell did that all go? Every day I'm getting older. Every day I'm getting a little more irritated. I love this country. Let's not get me all twisted on this one. I just don't understand this government.
Well, you know, Bill, here.
Go ahead. Try to argue with me. Go ahead.
I'm not. I'll let George Carlin explain it to you, Bill.
Don't, George. George.
There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks. And it's the same reason that will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pocket. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they used to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged, and nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hard-working people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hard-working people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. And nobody seems to notice, nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on, the fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dick that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
Get that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. What I'm going to do
Real quick, do you know there's a new survey out right now that says in the world rating, America is 26th
right. In
science and mathematics.
Right.
The foreigners, the Europeans, the Asians, they come to the American universities because we have the best universities, but American youth, we're 26th in the world in arts and science, mathematics. What the hell is, where did we go wrong here? Where did we go wrong? I'm sorry, go ahead, take me.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to play this real quick. And be right back. I got something I got to take care of here with the computer, so just listen to this. We'll be right back. Everybody on the phone, just stay there.
Quick adjustment. We'll be right back. It's a thingamajigger. Three Doors. I didn't understand
a
damn word.
No. That was Pearl Jam. Not Three Doors.
Because it was live.
Yeah, that was live in New York City.
Yeah.
Music was nice. I couldn't understand a word. I just want to point that out.
All right. What I wanted to do was, I was looking for one thing.
I told you, put the oldies on for me. I can't understand the music.
Hang on. Just so everyone knows, you know, Bill, there's a reason why they're coming after our guns. There's going to be no economic recovery.
Right now, they're going after ammunition Ammunition is impossible to come by.
That's because the government bought it all.
That's right.
For 40 caliber hollow points. Mm-hmm. For what?
They're not taking the guns away because they know we're going to be too upset. But they're taking the ammunition away, and virtually, what's the use of having the guns without ammunition?
Right.
I'm not a crazy pro-gun nut. I'm just saying that as an American citizen, taxpayer, adults, questionable in that part, I should have a right to have what I want inside the privacy of my home. Our government can't take the guns away because we're fighting, but they're controlling the ammunition.
That's
being on every single gun show there is. They're controlling the ammunition to control the guns. Now, I'm not being paranoid, folks. I'm just telling the way it is.
The way it is. And I'm just posting a couple things to the chat.
All right.
Boom, we'll be right back. But,
all this talk about the government and all that, and please, one more time, I know the government records us and all that. I love this country. Philip and I are both veterans. I just don't like the way it's going. The road ahead of me, you know, I don't like it. I worry when I see somebody running for president, they're spending like several million dollars to be president. Several million dollars to be president? The job don't pay that much. So why would you spend all that money for a job that don't pay anywhere enough? Congressmen, senators, they spend so much money for a job that don't pay that much. Would you?
Bill, no.
America, something's wrong here.
Yeah, just so everybody know that.
Oh,
I received this remark the other day, but Gun Appreciation Day is the 19th of January, Bill.
Everybody take a gun to work day.
No.
I didn't say that.
Don't do that, Bill.
Take the school buses and all that. Come on, kids. You know, oh, my God.
Let me see. Yeah, there's a bunch of new laws coming for 2012.
Okay, still California. The best country in the world. Philip and I are veterans. We've had a chance to travel around the world. We've seen a lot. This is the best country, but I keep saying that if we Americans don't have access to communication, let's talk about China for a second right now. They don't have internet. There's no way in China today they can have these conversations. America has that, but Americans are just being too complacent. They're just saying, well, the government will take care of everything. I'll get government welfare and I'll get aid. You know, you got to get off your asses, folks. We got to start taking America back. We got to start being proud to be in America.
You know, Bill, the other thing, you're right, and basically, you know, in Washington the other day, Supreme Court, they considered police must get a warrant before ordering a blood test unwilling drunken drivers.
I didn't know that.
The justice heard the argument. Yes, there's a video on it. And the justices heard arguments Wednesday in a case involving a disputed blood test from Missouri. Police stopped the speeding, swerving car, and the driver, who had two previous drunken driving convictions, refused to admit to a breath test to measure the alcohol in his body. The justices struggled with whether the dissipation of the alcohol in the blood or the wearing down of the alcohol in the blood at the time is a reason enough for police to call for a blood test without getting first getting
warned. That's a stupid word anyway, dissipation. What the hell is that?
So they decided with the defendant that they needed a warrant. So by the time they get somebody to get him the warrant, it's already worn off. If he was going to blow a .16 and it's 4 or 5 hours later, he might blow a .8, 10, whatever.
I want to tell you about how Phil and I feel about drinking and driving. I want to be real clear on this one here. Philip and I are not your ministers. I'm not your mama. You want to go somewhere and have a drink? Stay there. Tomorrow, I have to spend most of the day. I'm not going to say the man's name out loud, but I swear to God, I hope he's listening. I have to pick this Yahoo up. Yeah, he's a friend of mine. I got to pick him up, and I go to the police station first.
He's still a Yahoo.
Yeah, he's a Yahoo. First, I got to go to the courthouse and get all his paper together with him. Then I got to go to the police station. He's going to pay $160 for a single piece of paper from the police station releasing his motorcycle. He went in for a coffee shop, restaurant, met an old friend, and the guy convinced him to go out for a couple of beers. Long story short, you know what's going to happen. A couple of beers later, he says goodbye, tries to ride his bike home. He actually only really fell down on the highway, I guess. No major damage. People go to help him. They call for paramedics, and he's just drunk as a skunk. He's facing 5 years probation. He's facing court costs, fines, et cetera, et cetera. They're taking the license away from him for 2 years. Now, if he responds to everything, in 6 months' time, he can get a
restricted
license. Thank you. I was stalling on that one in there. That's if everything's perfect. Therefore, we can go to the doctor's office, he can go to, basic stuff like that, if it's perfect. Now, once I get the statement from the police station for $160, now I got to go to junkyard, storage yard, whatever you want to call it, impound yard, I'll get it. Then he's got to pay for towing to the...
He's got to pay for the towing, the cleanup, all the paperwork, the lien sale fees on his bike, everything.
And every day the bike's there, we were paying money on that.
$25.
Now I'm going to go with him because he can't drive anything at all. He can't drive for the next 5 years of his life.
Didn't you tell him to get a bus pass now?
That's what he asked me. He goes, what am I going to do? And I said, you're going to go out and get a bus pass. He said, well, you think you can help me get a ride? I said, if it's pouring rain sometime, you call me. Other than that, you put yourself in the predicament, you're going to have to get yourself out of it. I like this guy an awful lot. He and I were in two different motorcycle clubs many, many, many years ago. The clubs didn't get along that good. We did. However, what the hell would make anybody drink and drive in today? You just can't do it, boys and girls. Is there anybody out there that's had a friend like that, or am I the only guy?
Well, right now, everybody is muted. Ryan,
uh-huh.
Jacqueline, and Nora, and Stacy, and there's a couple other people on hold, but I wanted to bring these guys on. Comment on what Bill and I just said about the drinking.
But our
driving?
Good friend.
Yeah, if you're going to drink, keep your ass at the house.
That's
it's
all
not
it
worth
is.
It. You know, back 20, 30 years ago when there was nobody around and somebody had to drive up a dirt road to get home, it wasn't a good idea. People still did it. It was a lot safer. With so many damn people running around anymore, it's not safe for anybody else, and if you're going to put somebody else in danger, you better keep your ass at the house.
We're looking at a rough approximation of $10,000 coming out of his pocket by the time we get this all finalized and all that. $10,000 he just threw away. Threw $10,000 away for a few drinks.
Might as well just turn it on and start
a go fire. Down the freeway in a convertible and throw the money out because it's wasted. Again, Phil and I are not saying don't drink. I got no right to say that to you. Just saying, quit safe. I'm too damn old to have my friends on their motorcycles getting picked up for drunk driving anymore.
Hey, I both told people. You and I have bought tires.
Anybody else recently got a friend that's a DUI, or am I, Phil and I, the only sad town?
I haven't had anybody here recently. In fact, it's been quite some time, actually. So that's a pretty good deal.
You must live in a good neighborhood. I guess Phil and I just have weak friends. Because it's your choice to drink or don't drink. And if you drink and drive, how the hell could you get sympathy from me? I can't give it to you. And you don't borrow no money off me because I ain't paying no money, goddamn. You got to figure a way to pay fines yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But we have, that was Ryan that was speaking. And,
Ryan, I appreciate you jumping in there. I sometimes get on my soapbox. I don't mean to get that way, but stupidity.
Oh, you're
just
good, Bill. No worries.
He's a friend of mine. I swear, he's still my friend. Nightclubs and all that, blah, blah, blah. And I just, we're mad. Just have a drink and just pretend one drink's going to stop.
You know, not everybody's like us. You and I can walk into a bar,
Have
a Coke, sit there and bullshit, just like we're having a fucking drink.
I'm 3-4 bars a week. People, I don't have a problem with that. But you would think that after all of these years, the community would realize we can't afford this. How would everybody listen to me? $10,000 out of your bank account. I don't even know anybody's got $10,000, to be honest with you. It was before, but I ain't got it anymore. All right, I'm back. I'm normal. I'm sorry.
All right. So we have, I just showed Bill some pictures of Jacqueline, who happened to be a baby.
Jacqueline?
Hello?
Yeah.
Jacqueline, hi. I'm glad you're on the show tonight.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I want to apologize for you and I not, well, not apologize. I want you to understand why you and I are not aware of each other, because I was in a coma for a couple of weeks, and I missed a lot of programs, but I'm absolutely healthy. I ride my bike every day. I lost 40 pounds in the hospital.
Tell the truth, Bill. You're looking at her picture, and you can't take your eyes off it.
I am having a conversation with my friend here. This is a lady. I'm trying to act. Presence of a lady, I'm trying to act like a gentleman here, you know what? So I left the hospital 6 foot, 183 pounds. I'm back up to 205, 6 foot tall. That's a good weight for me there. But unfortunately, just a few things, and I definitely did miss you for a couple weeks ago. You could have come down to the hospital and visited on me, Jack. That would have been kind of nice, you know, but that's okay.
Well, I don't want to give anyone heart attacks.
Where are you calling me from?
From Commerce City.
Oh, Commerce. Okay. Yeah. All right, good.
Mm-hmm. So, Phil, were you showing the pictures that we did today or the ones from a couple weeks ago?
No, I got a shitload of them here. I'm just showing him everything because he missed
I'm
everything.
Trying to have a conversation with this lady here, okay? All right?
Oh, okay. I guess that's our cue to shut up, Ryan.
I guess so.
Why is it that we always have these beautiful young women around these old, beat-up old bikers? What's the attraction, I wonder?
Old guys rule, Bill.
Oh, okay.
Well, beautiful women tend to be everywhere these days, so I don't think it's just around a specific target audience. I think it's around everyone.
Everybody is body-conscious, personally. Yeah, it's important. If some people want to use Botox or some enhancement, I don't criticize anybody.
There's
you
no
need
enhancements
to do,
at the pictures I'm looking at right
I'm
now,
I'm not
Bill.
Saying there's any enhancements here. I'm just trying to say I believe a person, be a man or woman, should do whatever they think to make them more comfortable. You and I, unfortunately, we're too far gone for that, you know, no matter what.
Hey, speak for yourself,
you know.
Brother.
And every now and then we have a natural beauty like we have right here.
Why, thank you.
I really do not appreciate women who starve themselves to be this zero, you know, body size and all that. Jesus, it's nice to see a woman comfortable with her curves, natural. And I like the fact that you have a the face is very natural. I can't stand to see so much crazy makeup and all that that sometimes I have a hard time talking to people. Philip overdoes his makeup an awful lot. Have you ever noticed this? Have you seen pictures of Philip before?
I have not.
Puts too much makeup on. You'll see that, yeah. Coffee cup and the cream. That's cute. Yeah, that's nice.
Okay, so let me...
Well, you know,
I'm
going to
send you a shot. I'm going to send you a shot real quick, Phil.
You know what's funny, Bill?
What?
befriended me a few, like, a week and maybe a week and a half ago.
Maybe it was a charity case.
And she doesn't know what I look like?
Maybe it was a charity case. Or maybe you misled her thinking you're somebody different than you are.
No. And anyway, go ahead, Ryan.
Okay, I am sending Phil a shot right now. To his Facebook. Sending it right to your Facebook. You should have it.
All right. Put that one to Bill.
So that shot right there, she came up with the idea. This is the one where you're laying on your side, Jacqueline. And she nailed that shot in two tries. And the only reason it took her two tries is because the first one I got a little over-anxious and got too close, and I ended up amputating her toes because I zoomed in too far. But the, you know, just by looking at that picture, the amount of feelings and all of that that are can be expressed through that simple photo is awesome.
You know, I want to say that the little bit of jewelry, like on her left ankle, that's really coming on very strong. I would like to suggest, because the image I'm getting in the picture, we're showing a little bit of her bra strap. I would have liked to see that taken away to give the illusion of back being back to basic, but the only jewelry, the only thing different would be the little bit ankle bracelet. Do you see what I'm talking about, the little bit of bra strap showing? Again, I'm not being a critic, sir, because I can't take a picture at all. I'm just commenting on the picture sent in to us.
Absolutely.
Okay. Please never take anything I say as negative, because I can't take any pictures at all.
Oh, no, you're good. You know,
Let me tell you. Girls talk to women out of their clothes for camera shots. Don't worry about it.
No.
Unless it's old guy.
No. It's not. It's about sensuality, not blatant sexuality. If we can get a certain image, a certain look, that transcends beyond everything. A woman getting naked does nothing. And yet hiding, twisting, turning a certain way, coming across with a concept, I think that's so important. And I think that's the picture that lasts forever. But what do I know?
I agree.
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely.
He agrees with you.
But I'm,
go ahead.
I'm just very impressed with the emotion that she expresses through that simple shot.
That's what I'm like. That's what jumps out at the screen. It's the, I don't want to say it's a Mona Lisa type face, but it's the face being so relaxed, comfortable. That's what's coming on strong to me in that picture there. And the relaxed body.
Right. It's
whose
so
idea was the pose? Hers or yours, Ryan?
That's all her.
Oh, good girl.
I think this picture right here, honestly, was I just wanted to take a quick break from shooting, and like it was about relaxing and just trying to get rid of some nerves that were happening. And it totally just came out. And that
well,
was
Ryan, you know,
fun.
Since she was kind of nervous and it's legal to smoke pot in Colorado now, you should have calmed her down.
Exactly. Should have just broke out the bong and gone to it, I guess, huh? But, yeah, it, you know, I think she got here about 10 o'clock, and I think we finished shooting at about 4. So for about 6 hours, she did amazing work, tons of poses. We went through her pictures, and I think we ended up with 100 and something, if I'm not mistaken.
126,
so,
yeah.
Okay, 126 that we could not live without. So
that's amazing.
Well, you know, not to make her nervous, but right now they're listening to her in the United States, Ukraine, Canada, Australia, Germany, Morocco,
France,
United Kingdom, Romania, and Mexico, as well as Australia, Canada, Germany, South Korea, Turkey, Brazil, and Russia. Well, as New Zealand, India,
South Korea,
France,
South Korea,
Sweden,
yeah, they all listen to her right now.
Oh, Denmark.
Oh, that doesn't make me nervous at all.
Exactly.
Ordered all that zone because of the time zones. Many people may listen tomorrow to the show, so it'll be archived. Cool. People at this point are listening to your voice worldwide right now.
Well, I hope it sounds nice and lovely. Oh, it's
hot. You know, it sounds like you have a low mileage voice. And by that, a lot of times we have people on the show and they come across phony, pretentious. They're trying to present an image. Be who you are. I tell everybody, no, and that's the impression I'm getting right now. I've never met you before. This is Bill Kennedy speaking again. But you're coming across as this is who I am. Like me or don't like me. I'm not trying to be somebody pretentious. This is the people we like on our show an awful lot.
Thanks. I can only be who I am. I mean, I just try to be as genuine as possible and try to be polite at the same time. So, yeah.
Yeah. She's absolute sweetheart. Blast to work with. You know. Ben, how long have you been modeling for now? About a year?
Professionally, yeah. I mean, you take pictures of yourself when you're a girl in front of the mirror and stuff like that all the time. But I just, for about a year, almost less than a year, I just began working with professional photographers and realizing that I actually do have a knack for modeling. You know, I thought I had to be the tall, skinny girl, which I'm not saying I'm not thin or anything, but I definitely didn't think that I had what it took to be a model as far as physical attributes. But now I know that I'm completely wrong and that I have a very desirable gift. And, like, I think I can take it far.
You know, it's interesting, too, is the fact that if you think you want to be a model, then you probably got a good chance to do it because you can't compare yourself to any other person. There's only you. So if you can be honest with the camera, that's everything right there. I can tell you for a fact that the camera is an inanimate object. It can only pick up what you will give to the camera. You will be honest with the camera. If you flirt with the camera, I guarantee you that's going to come out who you are, the inner person.
Right. Right on.
He's looking at that one where you're laying with the pink lips and the pink bra.
What a big pink lips have, too, by the way. They're coming across, jumping out off the screen. Of course, the pink bra is coming up, too. But the little detail, like the pink lips, that's pretty impressive.
We call that one the Count Jaculin.
In many years in all the magazines, I've learned what works and what doesn't work. And each girl has to work with the photographer as a team.
Yeah.
And I think you did a good job there, both you two. So kudos to both you two there.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, both you two should thank each other. You did a great job, yeah.
Thank you, Ryan.
Oh, absolutely. You know, yeah, honestly, I had a blast. The first time we worked together was when I sent in that initial set of pictures for Babe of the Week. And it was freezing cold out. I don't even know what the temperature was, but there's still snow on the ground. And we were shooting at a park that was also a rec center. And so we've got people walking by, hanging out, standing around watching. And she nailed everything that we did that day. I think we kept a majority of those pictures, too. But, you know, after that, working with her that one time, totally fell in love with her style, how she handled herself. And hopefully we can keep this rolling. I'd like to see her get out there a little bit more and hopefully start getting some work in other places, too. So that's
Absolutely. Kind
of what we're pushing for.
You know, I'd like to say, too, I'm hoping you keep some of these really tasteful conservative pictures separate. So that as you grow a little older, I'm sure you grow gracefully beautiful, you'll be able to show your children and your grandchildren that this is what you were like, this is how you pose, and each picture explains to them what you're trying to do. I think it's so important not to be ashamed of what we did. Pick out the good pictures and be able to show our family down the road. In the past 40 years, the TV, radio, the magazines I've been in, I kept all that in the videos and blah, blah, blah. It's not that my ego is tremendous, maybe it's a little bit big, but I wanted my children and my grandchildren not to recognize some, you know, old man, but to see me when I was 20, 30, 40, 50, to hear the sound of my voice, to see the different pictures. I think that's the reason why I find photography so interesting. This is a lifetime program that your relatives, your children, grandchildren will be able to say, look at this,
yeah,
wow.
You're just going to watch when you shake photographer's hands, Bill.
Oh, for Christ's sakes. You want to tell that story?
No, I don't.
I'm going to share that then. I work on, okay, myself, my brother, we own Kennedy's Custom Cycles. We work on Harley-Davidson's. So my hands are a little bit strong. Most mechanics' hands are strong. There was a photographer at the Easy Rider show. He caught me by surprise. So I turned around and I shook his hand. Oh, my God, he screamed like a bitch. Oh, my God, you hurt my hand, you hurt my hand. Well, what the hell did you reach out and shake my hand for? I said, I'm sorry you have an injury. No, 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 my hands are sensitive. Okay, I didn't mean to hurt the man's hand. Oh, my God, I if you're sensitive, fist bump me or whatever the hell these guys do these days here. So Phil made a big deal because this photographer screamed. I didn't even shake it hard. I just, I don't know, it happened. It happened. I didn't mean to hurt you. Once again, I do something and it just happens at times.
So what? We got about 4 girls right now for next week, Bill. And I think Ryan was going to send me some new shots.
No, Ryan's not sending no pictures of him, is he?
No.
Oh, thank God. Okay.
No, that's not until next week.
Hey, I don't know. You know.
No, some shots for next week. So
not trying to be judgmental, but I don't know, Ryan. You know,
we're going to have 4 to pick from.
He could be a good friend. I don't know what you and Ryan have going on. So,
don't.
I just, you know.
I'm going to go there, man.
No? Okay, all right.
You know, but
Is that a comment? Everybody needs a smart-ass, sarcastic friend. Is that a comment to me?
Yeah, and I'm so happy to be serving
you. Yeah, okay. I want you to understand, we were at the Easy Rider Bike Show last week. There was an issue between these two motorcycle clubs. They asked me to get involved. Unfortunately, I did get in that coma, and it didn't get resolved. I was back on my feet, healthy enough to be at the show. I'm sitting here trying to negotiate this between the two clubs. Phillip's so they're schmoozing with every beautiful girl. I'm there for, this doesn't, when you talk to two motorcycle clubs, you're trying to work a trousseau, it doesn't happen in 5 or 10 minutes. They got to kind of talk in circles.
Well, I knew you were going to be busy.
For a long time. And every time I turn around, you are is you're talking to beautiful women, beautiful
women. But
you
didn't need me there at that time.
No, I didn't. Sometimes less people's more, but, so I want you to understand, I'm over here working hard, boys and girls, to keep the peace in America, and mi amigo, he's talking to every beautiful girl there is. I just want you to see what type of relationship we have over here. So what is some of the future programs you guys have, the two of you? Is there anything you think about doing in the near future?
Actually, yes. I spoke with her today about an event that I'm going to be doing in June. And it's basically I'm going to be taking 4 models on a 4-day trip, and we're going to cruise up to Lake Powell, do a big photo shoot. I don't know if you remember last summer, I had a clothing designer on with you guys. It was helping me out with the charity event, Isla Ritter with Lucid Mannequin.
Yes, you mentioned that.
Okay, she's going to design a bunch of bikinis, and she's going to fly out from Iowa and go on this trip with us. And it's going to be 4 days. We're going to go do some crazy waterfall photo shoots. We've got some swimming pool stuff lined up, and then we're going to go on a houseboat for the last 2 days of the trip. So she's going to be coming along for that one.
Brian, let me ask you this here, because I know the answer to this, but I want people listening to understand. Jacqueline's going to do some bikini shots. You said, how are you going to judge the bikinis with her skin tone? Now, I know how you're going to do this, but would you tell some of the people about some women shouldn't wear some colors? How do you decide what's good for her?
Absolutely. You know, the great thing about Jacqueline, I think, and she'll probably agree, she's probably good in any color except for pink, like a light-colored pink, or a peach, because of her skin tone. She looks awesome in black, great in any kind of vibrant, brilliant color, and I think a bright pink looks amazing.
I see it very clearly, but I don't think a yellow looks real good. Am I off base on that?
You know, I think the yellow looks good if it wasn't for the background being so dark.
Okay. Again, you have to understand.
Great on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was more the contrast, and that was my fault for picking the darker background.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think that the bright pink is awesome, and obviously blues, things like that go really good with her skin tone.
And of course,
a lot of that,
yeah,
I have to roll over to the designer when I send the photos, and the designer will do a great job of not only designing a bikini that's exactly for Jacqueline, but making it the colors that are going to bring out her features the best.
Jacqueline,
so
can
that's
I ask,
where,
Jacqueline, what would be your favorite colors that you enjoy wearing? What do you think brings out the best color in you? What do you feel best wearing? What colors?
I think the colors I feel best with are ones that I actually use today, which would be not a pale pink, but a bright, almost magenta pink, like any kind of bright reds, those kind of tones, and definitely black. I feel like black
basic
makes me feel
black.
Very comfortable. Yeah, like I hate to wear black all the time, but, you know, I'm constantly wearing black, but it really does suit me the best.
No, I understand. I wear so much black. Well, of course, I'm a biker, so, you know, I wear black Levi's and I wear black work shirts and all that. So it does two purposes for me. First of all, I'm comfortable in the color. My only contrast would be where I would wear my blue Levi's and then my blue work shirts with that. So I pick out certain colors only. Philip is much more color coordinated. He wears colors, but it's a different style. I hope you don't think she's saying, what the hell's wrong with these guys? They're talking about colors. Very beautiful girl. We do appreciate that. But I want people listening here to understand that modeling is more than just smiling. It's simply a matter of the right pose, the right colors, the directive of the shooter, the photographer, the producer, and then you trying to put your personality into it. So many people are listening to us saying, oh, I'm picking that up, I'm picking that up. It's not just simply, here I am, put the clothes on and go. Sometimes that just doesn't happen.
Oh, absolutely not. It's taken me quite a few, you know, tries to get what I want, the look that I want, but you can tell, like, when you get in front of a camera and you're not working, it's completely obvious. Like, I was working in every single one of these pictures, and, well, some of them were bloopers, but that's okay.
Right.
But, yeah, like, modeling is definitely a lot of work, and you have to hold those poses, and if you're lazy, it comes out right through your eyes. And you just can see it, and it's not exciting to look at at all.
One thing I ask,
you?
Please don't breathe. Get ready, don't breathe. The last thing I want is breathing or get ready to shoot. I don't want you to hold your breath for a long time or just get ready to shoot. I want whatever I'm seeing locked in place there. So that's one of the problems I have. A lot of girls go, well, I can't hold my breath. Yes, you can. It's only for a few seconds. We got the pose. I don't want anything to break it up and all that. I know, Jacqueline's going, these people are strange. No, we're talking about the fact that modeling is really, it's like an athlete. You've got to have the right coach, you've got to have the right everything, and people at home are listening to you, they realize, oh, I didn't realize that serious. And Jacqueline, you tell us, you've got to have a lot of patience, right?
Yeah, you have to have patience and faith, like in yourself and in the photographer, that, you know, he's gonna make you look good and that you're going to look good for him or her. It takes a lot of trust and a lot of communication.
Working or knowing the photographer, did you get a chance to meet with the photographer before you started shooting? Or did you meet the studio? Or can you communicate a little bit about, did you have some type of background? How did you get trust in our good photographer here tonight?
Our first shoot we did was the shoot where we submitted the Babe of the Week. And what we did is we met up at a place that was public, and he came to me and made sure that I was comfortable, and he pretty much just made it about me, which
uh-huh.
is awesome, like in any type of relationship. So we did what I wanted, like we did what I was comfortable with. And he, like, just before we started shooting, he, you know, communicated to me that I needed to make sure to tell him anything that makes him uncomfortable or things that I like, and showed me pictures, and just really helped me, like, kind of carve the path that we wanted to take. And then in spending that much time and talking to me that much, he was able to get to know me really well. And, like, that first shoot was all about us getting to know each other. And then we hit it off right away, and we were able to do this more intimate shoot.
Let me ask you about your makeup and your hair. How did that do during the shoot? Did you just bring mirrors in? Did you bring a girlfriend in to help you? Because the people don't realize the importance of getting there and then putting the makeup and have the hair just right. How did you get through that? Again, did you do that all by yourself? Did you have a girlfriend helping you or what?
My sister-in-law actually went to beauty school, and she styles my hair, like she did the hair, like she does the colors in my hair. That's obviously not my real hair color. So she does all that stuff and cuts my hair for me. So what I did last night is we prepped everything. So basically, we put my hair in rollers and made sure that there was going to be lots of body, so that the next day when I woke up, I wouldn't have to spend hours doing it, because it does take hours. It's an hour's process just to do my hair. And then I woke up in the morning and just recurled it and touched it up, and pretty much every chance that I got, I would just touch up my hair. Like, it was a constant thing, especially like with my hair. My hair goes flat right away, and I know mm-hmm. some models, their hair lasts the whole time, but and Ryan told me too, like, when my hair was looking weird, he was just like, hey, like, your hair's looking weird, go fix that. And then so
listening,
you know, like,
and they need to know these techniques and these tips. How about the makeup? How did you do with the makeup on the set?
The best makeup that you can do is just rest, and sometimes it's not always possible, but I do all my makeup. I was trying to go for, like, a natural, like, the bedroom kind of look, the bedroom eyes kind of thing. I actually graduated from Sea Boulder with a theater degree, so I pretty much know the ins and outs of a lot of makeup stuff, but it's mostly just, you know, playing with it at home and making sure that you know what you like.
Now,
did that answer your question? I'm sorry.
That's exactly what. Now, Philip and I, we've been doing this for many years. Ryan knows it, but some of our women listeners out there, and maybe some of the guys, I don't know, they need to know stuff like that. What else would you share with somebody going into a photo shoot? Confidence, you said makeup. We talked about hair a little bit. Talked about picking out some of your favorite shoes and clothing, colors you like so much. Any other tip that you'd want to give somebody going in to a photo shoot for the first time?
I would say just be open-minded and, like, really, like, don't look at it as like, I'm doing good or I'm doing horrible, but just look at what you can constantly improve on, because the next time that you shoot, you are going to improve. And remember things that you don't look so good doing, certain poses that make your body look weird, or certain, like, pet peeves that you have. Just, like, remember those things, because, like I said, it's work in front of the camera. Every single shot is work. And in my head, I'm like, okay, is my toe pointing the right way? Is my hair this? And once all those thoughts are out of the way, then you can relax and communicate what you're trying to get through to the camera.
One of the things that I am concerned about when I'm shooting is the fact that every now and then a girl will, like, close her fingers up into a fist. I'm saying, no, I need long fingers. I need extensions. Makes the arms longer, makes the legs better and all that. Every now and then, for some reason, they just want to close their fist up, and I think that's just nerves. So are you aware of, like, the finger extensions, making the arms longer and all that?
I'm aware of, like, my own personal body and how, like, I do think that, like, sometimes my arms look short. Like, I notice those things for myself, like, and I, like, when I look at pictures, I'm like, oh, I remember this one picture that I took, and I thought my arms looked really short. So if I angle them a certain way, it'll exaggerate them and make them look longer. Or, I mean, there are certain things that I forget to do, but that's, you know, the photographer's there to help you as well. So, I mean, if you forget to do something, then a friendly reminder doesn't hurt at all.
And please understand that, again, you're not just talking to us. You're talking to a lot of people is around the world, and these are tips that they're hearing for the first time, or they're thinking, oh, I did a photo shoot, I'll walk right in, I'll sit down, take a couple pictures, and I'll go home. That ain't going to happen, is it, Jacqueline?
Absolutely not. It was an entire day process, and you got to keep the energy up, and you got to keep doing your best, and you can't allow yourself to get down, and if you do, then, like, hopefully you will have support from other people, but that's not always going to happen, so you really have to be strong and just have confidence in yourself and in your photographer.
I'm curious, you know, how would you rate Ryan? Is he, obviously, his pictures are pretty good. Do you think he came across as an asset to you? Do you think that he guided you in a sense? Or how would you describe your relationship you built with him during this photo shoot?
I would say Ryan is definitely a great mentor, like, in not just in photography, but in a lot of aspects of life. Like, Ryan is just there for me and is ready to listen and basically is willing to do what it takes to, like, help me relax and make sure that my shoots are satisfactory. He helps me with things that, like, the pet peeve things that we were talking about sometimes that I would forget, or you know, actually, if there's a strand of hair in my face or something, like, I know that he'll be like, hey, like, let's fix this real quick and make sure that I look the best I can.
So it goes back to trust. Trust both ways. Is that correct, Ryan?
Absolutely. So out of all of my little pet peeves, Jacqueline, what do you think is my biggest pet peeve when we're shooting?
I'm going to have to say it's a tie between tags on clothing and pigeon toes.
Right on. Yeah, I keep a pair of scissors at all times because there's something about having a completely gorgeous woman in a beautiful shot and you're looking everything over and, of course, critiquing everything as anybody does, and then you see a tag sticking out from somewhere. So, you know, I love to have those taken off because then that's one less thing I got to either Photoshop or worry about. I know it's just handled. But, you know, there's so much involved, and Jacqueline is amazing when it comes to this. There are certain angles and characteristics that people subconsciously like in a photo. And once you can grasp what those things are, everybody feels like the photo is inviting them in. And a lot of that is feet positions, arms, you know, there's certain geometrical angles that bring people into these photos, and she's got every one of them. So, you know, after a couple times and showing her some of her photos and telling her this is an amazing photo and this is why, after that she nails it every time. So definitely a pleasure working with her, and every photo she does is amazing.
You know, Jacqueline, I've never really met Ryan or seen a picture of him. Phillips described him as being bald and no teeth. Is that correct? Jacqueline?
You forgot the patch over his eye.
The what?
I'm just kidding. Ryan is a very good-looking lad. And he makes me feel comfortable.
Bill Schillen, why are you getting me in trouble? I don't know why. It just happens.
Well, I don't know. Like, for women, a lot of like a lot of physical appearance, it also depends on personality. So if a man is a massive douche, then, if a man acts like a jerk, then I see him as ugly. Like, he's not very attractive to me. Like, regardless of how tall he is, how dark and handsome or whatever, if the guy is just acting like a douche, then that's an absolute no. But Ryan tends to support the women around him, and it's just, like, so empowering to, like, so many women, and I think that's what's sexy.
Goes back to, trust. Was that correct, maybe, Jacqueline? Trust?
Yeah, I mean, you... Kind of. I guess... I'm not sure, actually. It's definitely, like, a vibes thing. Like, mm-hmm. you get vibes from certain men, and you're just like, okay, well, that man is attractive.
Yeah. Or Ryan say, why are they picking on me? Well, Ryan, you can't go by us at all.
Oh, no, you're golden. I actually just posted another one of her photos. I wanted to show you what I'm talking about with, as I'm saying, angles.
Uh-huh.
And I tagged Phil in it, so it should show up.
Can I ask, Jacqueline, how tall are you?
I'm
not going to ask you anything more particulars, but how tall are you?
Almost 5'4".
5'4", okay.
So I'm not very tall.
That's what stiletto heels are for, darling, right?
Exactly. And then you throw them at people.
Exactly.
Tell you right now, without stiletto heels, Philip's not that tall either, so it's not a big deal. He wears them every day around the studio here. It's acceptable. But I try not to be judgmental, my friends.
If he's really nice, it compensates for his shortness.
Ah,
there we go.
He was 7-inch.
Always something positive with this one.
That's it.
I don't think I've heard her say anything negative about anybody since I've known her. And
well, right
one
after
of her
the show, she's
characteristic.
About Bill and Phil's show. She said, what the hell are those crazy people talking about?
Yeah, she'll be texting me never again.
Yeah. Everybody, again, people listen to you that maybe they want to try being a model. Maybe this is something you are giving them an insight into. First of all, it's no easy thing to do. It's something you got to be dedicated to. As you say, you got to have trust and confidence in the photographer. Now, we know Ryan is a good guy, you know, kidding aside and all that. It's not an easy job you're doing, but you say it's something that if you want to do, you should do. Is that correct, Jacqueline?
it has to be in your heart of hearts. You know, it was something that I, you know, have always wanted to do but never actually thought I could do. But, you know, once I started doing it and I was like, you know, I'm going to pursue this, and you have to be able to take a lot of negative feedback and criticism and, like, kind of filter it, you know, like, I'll take this if this is going to help me, and I'll throw that away if that's just going to make me feel bad about myself.
Yeah. Well, Phil and I want you to understand that since we've been on the air, we get a lot of criticism, a lot.
Fourth year now.
And I tell Philip that if we do nothing, nobody will complain. Anything we do, those people that do nothing, those are the ones that complain about us. Oh, they could have done this. They could have done that. I encourage everyone. Now, Phil and I do a lot of charity works together. I put the event over. I ask for suggestions. They say, I didn't like the band. It was country. I didn't like the band. It was rock and roll. I didn't like the food. Everybody complains, but I tell Phil, as long as we're trying to do something, we should press forward because we think it's the right thing to do. I do not allow people's criticisms unless they can say, the food was bad, I like to suggest this, then I'm willing to listen to you. The band was okay, I like to suggest this. If you have a valid complaint and you have a way of improving it, Phil and I want to hear it. But for people to come up and constantly complain about everything we do, if you're thin-skinned in this type of world, it'd wear you down. Is that right, Phil?
That's correct.
Isn't he a man of few words? I talk to him, he goes, that's right, Bill. Oh, my God. In case you don't know, wonder why I'm doing most of the talking always. Phil's got the computer. He's got all the stuff going on. He doesn't always get a chance to jump in. So I try to make him part of the conversation, but he's moving so much stuff around. Did you get that last picture we just sent to us?
No.
Okay, good. It's coming up there. All right, then.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So are you looking at it right now, Bill?
No,
we got stuff moving around back and forth.
Yeah. We're getting some tampering from the other side.
Gotcha.
We're okay,
when you
really,
pull that photo
anyway,
up.
Yeah.
They're all trying to look at her.
So I don't think she's seen this one yet unless she can access her Facebook while we're on here because I just put it up.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, the triangles of her arms and the way her body language is open to the camera, along with that great S-curve that goes through her back, around her butt, and toward her knee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those types of things make the photo more appealing. And it's stuff that come out and, you know, for some reason, subconsciously, you look at that, and it's a welcoming, attractive, friendly photo.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that tends to draw a lot of people in.
Well, all the years we've been doing it, I actually take a photo, and I break it down in increments. So these are all things I look for. You know, we should get somebody holding up a sign, hey, Bill and Phil, from one of these shots. Why have we never done that?
You know, Why have we never done that? I thought he was going to do that, you know.
Brian, did you hear that? Well, maybe one of these times you could have a little model saying, hey, hi, Bill and Phil, or something.
Okay, well,
maybe.
Tell you what, since Jacqueline's on the phone and I'm on the phone, how about she and I just do that for our next shoot?
Jacqueline, is that okay with you?
I'm sorry, I totally missed what we're doing.
Just say yes. Be fine.
It involves a whole lot of fun stuff, so just say yes.
They
were wondering if they're wondering about getting a sign that you can hold that talks about, you know, hello, Bill, or, you know,
absolutely.
Yeah, all these are shooting this all the time. When will something like that make something a little different? You
because,
know?
Yeah, because what I do is when we pick these, it's there's one for the baby of the week.
Yeah.
And then there's I get all them other ones for pick of the day.
Yeah.
So we got four to choose from next week. She's going to be one of the four because Brian's going to send me some more pictures. Then we'll figure out which one, and then we'll make one of the baby of the week, and then we'll make one baby of the day.
Pretty much when it says, hello, Phil and Bill show, that's going to be on my brain. You know, I'm for that, you know. And actually, people get confused, so it's actually Phil and Bill show. Because, we voted on that. We tossed a coin, and Dan and I lost. I thought it should be the Bill and Phil show, but we tossed the coin, ended up being the Phil and Bill show.
Well, that's
we're very democratic around
that's
here.
That's because you said it.
Because we used your coin. That's why I lost. She used my coin. I had a better chance winning, but no.
I know. No, the only other thing she needs to do is, Ryan, have you got any of those bios that you sent me? Have you got them saved?
You'll have to, you're kind of cutting out a little bit on there. They're messing with you. I heard something about, do I have any something?
Do you have any of the bios that you made?
Oh, I might.
Okay. You need to sit her down and let her write one out to put with it in instead of sending it to one link, if she's got another link, or use your link to get to her.
Okay, I'm actually pulling up the, I've got a sample bio with questions on my desktop. I am copying that, and I'm going to send it to her right now in her Facebook messages. So then she'll have that, and that'll give her a good place to start. Did you hear that, Jacqueline?
I heard it, yes, sir.
Okay.
Good.
Let me see here. And it's, you know, as a somebody putting together a biography, what I always try to tell everybody is it's the basic stuff that everybody needs to know. Who you are, what you do, how long you've been doing it, and how the hell do I get in touch with you? If you can cover those basic themes, then people know how to contact you. But there's, you know, numerous times I'll see a hot picture on a website or somebody that I want to work with. And even on Facebook, you know, you go to their about section, it's like, okay, there's, you know, you like riding horses, but how the hell do I contact you? What's, you know, what do you do? What don't you do? And a lot of models getting started have all of that on the top of their head. And I could ask Jacqueline any of those questions. She knows exactly where she stands on all of it. It's not always the case with a lot of these other models. So I got to stress that to models, if you're getting started, take some time, set your parameters, you know, what you will do, what you won't do. Make sure you stick to them and let people know about you in a manner that when they read your biography, it's not 10 pages long where they get bored and go to the next person, but that it's short, to the point, and it's inviting. They've got to want to work with you. You've got to have your personality show in that. So, you know, anybody can, you know, grab the phone and talk to a lot of these people and get that information. But if you don't have that availability, it's great to have it on a piece of paper. So, and, you know, that's something that, you know, Jacqueline and I have talked about. She's got a great start and got good things going. We'll just have to get that finished up, and I'd love to put that with her next batch of photos. And I have no doubt that everybody else is going to fall in love with her style and personality, and hopefully we can get this girl some work.
Get it all together by Saturday. That would be great.
Okay.
You know, Ryan, Jacqueline, though, Jacqueline's got a very natural voice. I do encourage models, especially when I do some acting and all that, take a speech class in college. I was so concerned coming out of high school that my 4 years in college, I took a speech and or theater every single semester, so when I got out of college, I could speak at the opening of a phone book. I had no problems whatsoever. And I know some models are a bit uncomfortable. You have to understand, if you have the figure, you have the face, you have the personality, and you want to evolve into acting or commercials, you've got to have the voice too. Not everybody has a comfortable, natural voice like Jacqueline, so we encourage people listening to speech classes or theater. It's very critical. Do you agree, Jacqueline?
I read. I read already.
Yes, she agreed, correct?
Yeah.
Agreed.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, and she is very good at articulating what she wants to get across, which is awesome. Instead of having to sit there and think about something when we're, you know, discussing things, very quick-witted, knows what she wants, how to get it, and that is extremely appealing when you're working with a model, somebody that doesn't have to sit there for 5 hours and wait for direction, that she can just start moving and going with the flow, knows what she wants, and is able to nail it every time. So, I can't praise this one enough.
All right. So, I was going to say, listen, we hope that, Ryan, we don't want to lose contact with you or Jacqueline. Ryan, I hope you'll be a consistent participant in the program because, again, it's all about us. I like the fact you're coming in, sharing your ideas and with the models and sharing information for people who are thinking about doing it or even some models that are doing it, they have some bad habits. I think by listening to Ryan, we can get some improvements. Philip and I, is we have the perfect face for radio, and that's our limitations. We understand that.
Right.
What's so funny, Jacqueline? Did I say something funny? I don't think...
No, not at all.
If you've seen any time I've been to film or TV, I'm always the bad guy. I'm always behind prison. I don't know why. I think I should be the pretty boy, but they keep sticking me. No. You're the leader of the white
Type
gang.
And casting.
It's sad.
That's because you're so good at it.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think some bad Brad Pitt. I think they have a conspiracy to try to hold me back. That's probably what it is.
It's got to be.
He must have a lot more money. I was interrupting.
No, there is no interrupting this program here because, again, the show is all about everybody coming in here, so we appreciate that. So, again, Brian, did you say you might come back again on a regular basis if you'd like, sir? How's that sound?
Absolutely. I've got, I was talking to Phil the other day. I've got school starting up again, so I'll be... I actually have class on Tuesdays and Thursdays, but on different days I'll be able to break away and call in.
Good.
But I'm hoping to obviously stay in touch about some of the events we have coming up and, you know, keep that stuff rolling. And I don't claim to know all the answers or even have part of them, but one thing I am is honest, and if anybody has a question about something, if I don't have an honest answer for you, I'll do my best to find out what it is. And
well,
I'm all about helping everybody out.
Yeah, between the different models coming in, you're giving more insight to the people. And I know a lot of people are saying, well, Bill and Phil's show, usually about hardcore motorcycles and everything. It's we want to share information with people in America. And there are a lot of people that say, well, I'd like to model, but I'm afraid. And yet, listen to Jacqueline. She's not intimidating anybody. She's encouraging people to go out and try it. That's all we're asking.
Mm-hmm.
Like.
Right. And, you know, I put a post on my Facebook yesterday. I had a model that I had worked with that was actually one of your babes of the week last summer. Contacted me, and she now lives in Vegas. Had worked with a photographer, and she was practically in tears when she called me because he was holding all of her photos hijacked. He wouldn't release them. So now she's out of state. She doesn't have these pictures. She's trying to get her portfolio going, and the guy was being a dick. Well, so I asked her exactly what was going on. And he had told her that he would be happy to release the photos if she would send him nude pictures. And this was a 4.5-hour bikini shoot that they had done. It was bikini and lingerie. And he wouldn't give her the photos. So, obviously, she wasn't going to go to that level to get them. And had me contact him. She says, I'd like to have you act as my manager for the next couple days and see what we can do about getting these photos because I need to have them. So I contacted him last night, and his response was that the models are volunteers if they're not getting paid, that he is under no obligation to give them any photos, nor is he under an obligation to give them a copy of the release or waiver, and that he would sure as hell not give it to me. So as a photographer, of course, I got pissed off, and I contacted all the other photographers in the area that work with anybody in my network, and made them aware of what was going on so that we know who not to refer. But the other part is models, read your damn paperwork.
Yes.
You know, if you don't trust the guy, you know, take the time, check them out, all their references. You know, when you're looking at their different websites and you see somebody you recognize, call them up and see how they were treated. Cover your ass. If, you know, there's a lot of shady people in the business, and it totally sucks. But there's a lot of models that get screwed over or get put in bad situations, and they don't know how to get out of it. So don't be the victim. Cover your ass. You know, if they don't allow you to take somebody, think about it.
There you go.
You know,
there you go.
If they don't recommend, you know, if you want somebody, bring them. You know, you got to wonder what their intentions are.
This year's good coming. That makes good. That's another aspect about it we didn't know about.
We got another caller.
We got another caller coming in here, 760. You're live, 445. Talk to us.
Hey, Bill, it's Staples from the Rough Riders MC.
Amigo, I'm so glad you called in. This is a very important issue. Would you like to tell us why you're calling, what happened? I'd like everybody to hear this, please. You're on, brother.
I appreciate first off, thanks for the time on the show and everything. Just prior to Christmas, the Wednesday evening before Christmas, one of our brothers, Brother Mater, from the Dago chapter of the Rough Riders Motorcycle Club, was hit and killed on his motorcycle out on the Interstate 15 by a wrong-way driver down there by Gopher Canyon Road, for those people that are local out here in SoCal, North County, San Diego. We're having a benefit memorial barbecue at our clubhouse here in North County, San Diego. The thing is, we're trying to get some donations and whatnot for the family. He was an active duty Marine. He was a family man. His wife and kids and whatnot, even though they are definitely rich in family, friends, and club members, they're strapped for cash right now. So anything that anybody could do to help donate would be greatly appreciated. We're trying not to give out the club address right now, the clubhouse address, because we're expecting upwards of over 200 people there, and it's kind of a small clubhouse. So what I will do is I could give out a PayPal account address for those people who would like to donate to help Dawn and her kids out. It's Durant Memorial at yahoo.com. That's Durant Memorial at yahoo.com. That's the name of the PayPal account. And whatever anybody would like to send in would be greatly appreciated. We would love to have people at the clubhouse, but the Confederation of Clubs has been invited. We've got brothers coming in from all over the country, plus friends of family, friends of the club and family members. So we're going to be pushed to the gun walls and way over staff body-wise to handle all these people coming in. So that's why we're thinking just go ahead, we'll do a straight donation. If people want to do that, would be great.
Now, I would say for people out of state, too, they can contact you and perhaps kick a small check or something if possible. And can they also send, like, personal notes or messages? Because a lot of people listening long distance can't make it. Notes, a message, a small amount. Have you also contacted Pastor Z about the Down Biker Fund, brother? Are you familiar with that?
I personally have not. Tanker is the Dago chapter president, which was Mater's president of the chapter that he was in. And I'm not exactly sure. They've been working a lot with the CAICO Marine Corps people, the casualty assessment people. And I'm not exactly sure what's going on as far as that goes, but I know she is strapped for cash. I mean, you know, she still has bills and stuff to pay like everybody else does. It's just a really bad time of the year to lose your husband and everything. It's just really a tragedy all the way around and for no reason.
Now, you know that my bike shop, my brother Mike Kennedy and I got the bike shop in Oceanside, Kennedy's Custom Cycles. I have let a lot of the clubs know. You want me to continue to let all the clubs know, or do you want to pull back a little bit on the public, or what direction do you want me to go in that, brother?
Well, like I said, the Confederation of Clubs has been notified, and everybody's invited on a local level. It's just that we were worried about if putting out the club at the clubhouse address, like somebody that hears this in Vegas goes, well, I'm only 6 hours away. I would love to come support that. We would love to have those people come to support that, but it would be better off if they could support it monetarily as opposed to coming
in.
Send
the gas money.
Well, that too. Yeah, exactly. Send the gas money instead of yourself, because we're going to be packed to the gun walls with people. So on a local basis, we have no problem with people showing up, and just because we're counting on so many people, it's the over and above that we haven't really looked at as far as outside of the San Diego County area.
You know, I got to say, it's the first time you've been on the air with us, and I've known you for some time. I was a bit concerned if you might be a little tongue-tied or shy. You ain't none of those damn things, are you? You're quite the Mr. PR. I give you, there we go, applause on that. I would like to ask you, I was so surprised. I'd like to ask you to please come on next Thursday again. That'll be the Thursday before your event, and touch base again and go over everything again so people can that haven't heard this show, because it is archived. And as you know, maybe you heard Philip say all the different countries we're in right now. But one more time, the Thursday before the event, I think would be very appropriate, if you're comfortable, sir.
I would love to absolutely do that. It will probably be after about this time next week, because I don't get off work until 7 o'clock in the evening.
Our time is your time.
Yeah, so what I'll do is I'll call in again, and just put me in the cache on the, you know, the side, put me in the airport holding, and when you're ready to bring me up, I'll be here.
I want you to hang on for a second. Don't go anywhere. We got a caller from Virginia that wants to ask you a question. 804, talk to us.
Hi, I was just listening. Is this the show that Eunice Smith comes on?
Yes, but she's not here today.
Yeah, that's. I wasn't sure if she was coming on tonight or not.
Well, she's been pretty sick the last few days, so maybe she's just resting tonight.
Yeah. All right, because I had...
Thank you for calling anyway, okay.
I'm sorry?
So thank you for calling. Do you have anything else you want to talk to us about?
Well, I had told her to have you gentlemen come to me. I have all kinds of strategies I'm rolling out, and this gentleman that's representing the Marine that died, I can tell him about things that can have ongoing help for that family. But
well, we're a little bit late on tonight's show, but I'd like to ask you if you'd consider calling in next Thursday. Would that be appropriate with you, sir?
Well, again, if you follow up with Eunice, she knows who I am. You have my number, and my name is Hugh. She knows me.
Okay.
We'll do that.
She can bring it back, but when you see this, this can, you know, go all across the country and really kick up a whole new economy for America, too. I'm bringing spirituality into global economics and combining it with unconditional love and rooting out the corruption and the, you know, it's all caring and sharing. It's people helping people that is going to bring America back. The corporate greed isn't going to do it.
Appreciate that. Like I said, if you get a chance, call us next Thursday. I'm going to cut you off because I've got something I've got to mention. We have a local minister named Pastor Z. His last name is, it's a long name, so just Pastor Z. And he has a program coming up for April 7th. And of all places, it's going to be at Kennedy's Custom Cycles here in Oceanside, California. Phil will be there, of course. These hardcore good Christians, they refer to Phil and I as, we're a work in progress. So much as we appreciate our Christian brothers and all that, Sunday going. But on April 7th, and we'll talk this again, it's going to be a bike blessing. We will have at our shop, like we do every year, hundreds of motorcycles coming in, and the pastor is going to bless them. And a special thing I have going on every year, I ask every married couple that wishes to step forward, pastor, renew everybody's wedding vows. I know most of you bikers are going, oh, I don't give a shit. Trust me on this one, guys. It'll get you exceptional brownie points. I see guys sitting there going, oh, hurry up. The women getting a little teary-eyed. A lot of static in the air tonight, boys and girls. So that's coming up again. Do we have another caller we want to jump in?
Yeah, we do.
626, jump in, please. Talk to us. Tell us who you are, where you're from. What's on your mind?
Bill and Bill, how you doing?
Okay, who is this?
This is Eric from Espinosa's brother.
Hey, I haven't seen you since the Easy Rider show. Good to hear your
exactly.
voice.
It's been a long time. How you guys doing?
Doing fine tonight.
Absolutely.
That's good. That's good. How you doing, Philip?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Hey, how's everything going, guys?
Well, we're doing fine, but I have something I want to ask you about because I'm really so much into family. Would you tell us a little bit of what your company is and tell us...
You want to know about my family? Well, we're a family-oriented business. My dad has started since 71. We didn't get a retail shop till 85. From 71 to 85, he would do nothing but swap meets, flea markets, fairs, and that's how he made his living until he saved enough money to buy a retail store in 85, which is the location we're we're filling now. He knocked down the old building, built a big two-story one, and yeah, that's what we're doing now. We learn by example, try to treat everybody with respect and love, and that's what we're doing now.
You mentioned yourself and your dad, but you got a couple other brothers working with you. Is that also correct?
Oh, yeah, of course. There's Gilbert Jr. He comes down, he helps out. Gilbert Jr., he's exactly like my dad. If you want to know, you gotta talk to Gilbert Jr., man. Everybody loves that guy. It's like talking to my dad. He's a reincarnation. And my brother Joe, he's another good dude. He takes care of everybody. He's a good dude. And,
we're talking about three brothers and a father doing one of the best leather companies in San Diego, in California, excuse me. You guys in Orange County. You guys are really known for your vest. That's some of the best vests on the market I hear right now. What's really hot selling right now?
As you can tell, he's seen mine.
You know what? There's a lot of SOA style vests going out right now. It's really popular in the market right now. Everybody's watching it. That's like the traditional club vest right now. And we just try to perfect it, do little odds and ends so that people like it. You know, we build a little pen pocket, gun pocket. Everything you can think of, we can make for you because we're the only true business you can see in California that does everything from scratch right there at the location. So anytime anybody wants to come by, we'll measure them up, take their specs, and then make them anything they want, anything they can think of. We just made Philip a vest, and I'm sure he's pleased with it.
Hey, Bill's jealous. That's why I told you guys to fit him the other day. But
I'm not sure he's the best advertisement you want for your company, have him walking around. I'm telling you right now. You could have picked a better model, I think, in my opinion. We like this company because we like family companies. My brother and I have a motorcycle shop. I have a lot of relationships with families. I think that keeps America great. This family started from little to nothing, and they're building into a good, but a great reputation. That's why we like Espinosa Leathers.
Thank you.
You people interested in them? How can they reach you online? How can they find out what you're doing, brother?
What's that?
How can they reach you online? How can they find? How can they jump on the computer, find more about you and the company?
Everybody could go to espinosaleather.com. That's espinosaleather.com. No apostrophe on the S. Or you can follow us on Facebook. On Facebook, we're constantly putting up new styles of S, new different liners and stuff like that. You can also follow us on Instagram, espinosaleather. But yeah, Bill, you got to come down to the shop. We got to size you up, man.
I appreciate that. Now, listen, what's the chance of you coming down to Rosarito Beach? And is it July, Philip?
July, yeah.
You're going to get, and you guys going to get away from do that party with Martine at Rosarito Beach in July?
Oh, yeah, of course. I wasn't aware that he bumped it up to July until this weekend, but yeah, we'll be there. It should be a good time. I had a good time with Philip this past year. I bumped into him several times, and it's always good to see him, and, you know, he's a good dude.
This guy tried to get me drunk, Bill.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
In Mexico?
Yeah.
I think it's legal down there.
Only in Rosarito.
That's when he found out I didn't drink.
Well, that's another program too. The
you know, the dad's kind of a real down to earth guy.
Yeah.
So when I got there that day, I was with a few other people and asked me if I wanted a
This is a long story.
No, short.
All right, I want to know. All right,
asked me if I wanted a beer. I said, well, I don't drink.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
So he went in the back and he put a sticky on a can of Coke and brought it out to Pepsi.
Well, you know.
Hello?
Don't you up there? You helping some of your community? So you're not just out another money-grabbing corporation. You're out there doing work with the charities. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. We do our best that we can to reach out to communities and charities. We threw our first ever bike night in October, and it was to benefit the Gallegos family and their charity, the Upside of Down, and that's to support Down Syndrome and to fund that. And Yeah, we'll be throwing another event, and I'll be calling in to talk about that. And everybody's welcome. All colors are welcome. Everybody. And, yeah, we hope to see all you there.
You know, Eric, when you told me the other day that people have been saying they've been coming in and saying they've seen it on the website just since Sunday, since I posted that article again, gotten 230 worldwide.
Oh, yeah. You guys done this well, and we'll continue to treat you well.
Listen, we got to tell you, the reason we like you is sometimes we have companies come on the air, and they're all about talking about me. I got to pull information out of you guys. You guys are so humble. You're so real from your dad on down. The people, you have to understand this. Listen to me. This is a father and three sons that are going to do their best to get you a good leather piece, whatever it is here. There is no ego, no attitude, and you can listen to me. Pulling information from them. These are the real deal, folks. I'm telling you.
I appreciate that, Bill. I really do. And we will. Anybody that calls in, we do our best to please you because that's what we're in the business of doing. We're not about being billionaires. We really just want to make sure everybody that wears our cut wears it proudly and knows that they're wearing something that we put our blood, sweat, and tears in. And I appreciate you guys having me on, and I hope you guys have a prosperous New Year, and we'll talk soon.
Okay.
Glad you came on board. Say hello to your other brothers and your dad for us, okay, buddy?
Okay. And I'll have your model of the week pretty soon.
Okay, buddy.
There you go. Thank you.
Is he going to be the model of the week? What
no,
did
no,
say?
No, no, no.
Okay, I don't know if I heard that wrong. I'm sorry. I just want to check.
All right, guys. You have a good night.
All right, man.
All right,
you too.
Pal. You take care now.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, amigo.
Oh, we got
that. Eunice, are you on the air now?
Hey, Bill, how are you?
I'd be better than I was yesterday. I'll be even stronger than tomorrow, I guarantee you.
Oh, it's so good to hear your voice.
Came out of the hospital.
Bill's right. He is sexy.
I lost 40 pounds coming out of the hospital. I put 20 pounds back on. So I'm 6 foot, 200 pounds. It seems to fit me well. But I came out of the hospital, 180 pounds. I did a couple bike events, and I scared the hell out of everybody. No
did
one's giving
really?
That low weight and all that. So doctor says there's I'm strong as a horse. As my Polish nurse says, Bill, strong like bull. I guarantee you I'm doing fine. I'm riding the bike every day. Philip and I are back to our usual schedule. He's in one area, I'm in another. However, we did get to do the Easy Rider show together in Anaheim, California, which is good because, again, so much going on. Philip and I don't get to get together that much, believe it or not. So much to do, but I thank you for asking about me. Actually, I thank all the people that did send so many messages in there. Being in a coma, I simply was not, I didn't know who was calling me. But I got out of the coma. 2 days later, I walked out of the hospital. 7 days later, I'm on my bike, and again, I'm healthy as a horse. Doctor said, don't restrict my diet, don't change my attitude, just go back to living normal. It was a freaky thing.
Yeah, it's wonderful to hear. It really is, Bill.
Well, as my Irish grandmother said, God's not done with me yet. Whatever
That's
I'm
right.
supposed to do, I guess I got to keep doing it.
That's right. Just keep doing it. That's what you got to do. You'll miss very much, let me tell you.
Listen, you know some information about that pedophile bill that's out, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Can you give us a little rundown on that? Because every now and then that...
the bill didn't pass, Bill. It did not pass.
Okay.
There was one person that held it up, but I met with this guy, Kevin, Reverend Kevin from Canada. I don't know if I think I mentioned it to you guys the other day. I met with him and his father yesterday, and he wants me to go on the talking circuit with him, Phil. And he's all about pedophiles, and he kind of really shocked the hell out of me. He said to me, how would you like to go to Rome? And I said to him, Rome, New York? He says, no, Rome, over at the Vatican in June.
Wow.
I says, I would love to go. So that's one area that we're going to hit. But, nice people. nice people, and he's the one that's fighting up in Canada. There was a lot of young boys that were raped by monks that were on the reservation up in Canada. So he's got a lawsuit against them, against the Canada government and the Catholic Church up there. So he's got a big suit against them.
Ask you some, maybe a bit, you say up in Canada, is this like Indians that were molested?
Yeah.
Right, yes.
Okay, I didn't get that part. I'm sorry. Well, okay, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. He's big on it. He was at the Vatican last year, and he held a, I don't know if you remember this, you should, because it never happened before. They did a hailing mass outside the Vatican. There was hundreds of people. And he did the mass. He's a reverend, you know. And what happened? A tornado struck right in the middle of the Vatican. Did you hear about that last year?
No.
Yeah. They never had a tornado over there. When he was doing the service, a tornado touched down in front of the Vatican. Imagine that.
Wow.
I got a question for you, Eunice.
All right.
This is Ryan in Colorado.
Hey, how are you, hon?
I am good, sweetie. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there.
Who was the jackass that you talked to last year that told you that was going to be passed by after Christmas or by New Year's?
That was, it's not a jackass, but that was Senator Brownsberger. It went into a conference committee. Now, I found out the conference committee passed it. It went back to the House of Representatives, and there was two senators that held it up and wouldn't pass it. See, they were in what they call a small session, but now they're in a full swing session now. So we'll just see what happens. We have to start over, you know. But I'm not going to give up on it, guys. You know,
I've
worked too hard for it, and hundreds of people work too hard for it.
Mm-hmm.
So
Brownsberger is a good guy, then. Is that right?
Yeah, Brownsberger is a good guy. He really is.
Okay.
He was hot sick, you know. That it didn't pass. Officially, they're supposed, when it goes back to the House again, the House of Representatives and whatever the conference committee agreed to, they're supposed to do. But as you know, we have some assholes in this country. And you know, there's nothing you can do, you know? There's not a thing you can do. They have to do it.
Maybe I'm a heartless bastard, but I don't see how somebody could look at what has happened to some of these innocent kids and not want to push that bill through. What
it's
kind of
money.
A warped individual
it's money.
Would do that? Yeah.
It's money. It's all about money and position, you know, and that's the sad part, you know. They will get there someday. That's all I can say. I'm angry at them, and I would like to do a few things, but God didn't put me down here to make judgment on other people. They'll be judged when their time comes, you know.
Exactly. But it would sure be nice to protect some of these innocents in the process.
I would love to.
Wrap it up, but finish up the conversation, please. Got another minute. You have the rest of our time. You just go ahead, please.
You know, it's all about the children. It's not about me. It's not about anybody else. It's about protecting our children. And we've got to do that. And like I suggested Tuesday night, that maybe we should just bombard the MassGov with emails, you know. Do whatever you can do. It's 'cause every day, Philip Bill, 300 children in Massachusetts are being sexually abused a day.
Wow.
And you add that up. And, you know, it's sad, but you didn't even see a piece in the newspaper, Phil.
No. I, you said that. That's
not
right,
one
we're down to
blue
the last,
article.
We're down to basically just seconds right now, but what I'd like to do is invite everybody to come back Tuesday or Thursday next week, and we'll pick up where we left off.
Okay. Hey, Bill, it's
go
so
ahead.
Good to hear you.
Thank you, dear.
So good to hear you. You stay healthy. You stay healthy.
Too many people depend upon me.
That's right. You stay
healthy. My Irish grandma said, I'll say it one more time, God's not done with me yet. I don't know what the plan is, but I got a mama, I got brothers, I got a shop, I've got too many people. I can't leave, apparently. Thank you for all your concerns, everybody. And I do want to take this opportunity to thank all those people that contacted me. 989, before we run off, let's get you on the air real quick. 989, say hello to us, please. Tell us who you are, where you're from. 989-239. You're here, we're live, we're waiting for you before we go home. Well, I guess they quit off there. Well, let's give us some music to go out, okay, brother?
A little Summertime by Mike B.
There you go. Boys and girls, again, the Phil and Bill Show, we thank you. Remember.
Yeah. Mike P, the big homie.
All right, guys, we'll talk to you later.
Night, girls.
Hey, good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Mike P, the big homie. Summertime in the valley, homie. Yeah. Come on.
C-A-L-L-E-Y, we say G up and fly all the time, yeah. Summertime in the SFV, something for my 818 homie. C-A-L-L-E-Y, we say G up and fly all the time, yeah. Summertime in the SFV, something for my 818 homie. It's summertime in the valley, baby. It's summertime in the valley, It's summertime in the valley, baby. It's summertime in the valley. Twist the bottle open, homie, throw away the cap. Cause where we going, man, we don't need that. All we need is a 30-pack, a pack of Jimmy straps.